At 6:30. Any additions or adjustments to the agenda?
No.
No.
All right. Water department update.
I forgot my list, but there's only two things on it, so I think I can get to it. I reached out to the engineers and asked them, since you folks have signed the planning loan stuff a while ago, I asked for the status of that project and haven't heard anything yet. So I will be a squeaky wheel for the next month and make sure we have an answer by the next meeting of what's going on, if there's been any progress whatsoever.
Okay.
So, to be continued. And the other thing, we read meters, had a glitch again, but Terry figured it out, got the bills all printed out. But I think it's time to get serious about, I'm surprised I didn't receive it yet. I was supposed to get a quote to replace the reading equipment. So again, hopefully I'll have it for next meeting.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised I didn't get that.
And is there much lead time on that stuff?
That I'm not sure. I don't think so now. I think it's pretty, and right now they're out trying to, this is somebody from outfit called Thai Sales, because Census is no longer working with EJP after like 60 years of working together. So, when we started having an issue, we don't even know.
We have nobody to call.
Nobody that supports it now. So we wouldn't even have anybody to call. So this will be, it won't be Census equipment, but it doesn't need to be. I don't think it's something that we would have to wait for them to manufacture. I think if we ordered it, we could get it quickly.
And we got 3 months before we read
again.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we're good.
And so,
you know.
And so it would work with the buttons, and then it would come with its own software or something?
Same software, right? Or my new software.
It's new software, but it's actually more simple. The way he described it is, as we're reading, it goes to the cloud, and Terry could be generating.
Technically, I could go to the cloud and be printing them while he's reading them.
And they've set up multiple systems that are using MREC. So, you know, he mentioned Chip, who you work with. Right?
Yeah.
He's worked with Chip to set up a number of towns.
Yeah. Good.
And one of the things about that is, we could also incorporate the village at the same time.
Yeah.
And they could use the same equipment. They never read together, because Derek helps them both read meters.
Right.
And it could be sent right in here, because I've got the cloud to the village now. And then once it's downloaded into that cloud, which I can do from here, from this database, she can print them at that office and do bills for the village too, and not hand enter. Right now she's hand entering readings for 300 and some odd, so it'd be awful nice.
Yeah,
if depending, nice. You know, and just, you know, seeing the price of the equipment and what it would cost to add that additional, you know, and see what if the village
the
can afford
users,
it too, you know.
There's
just
a certain number of users on the equipment. I mean,
oh,
no, it would just be like
set up as different books.
That's right. It's two different books.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that would be
there. It would no extra.
Correct.
The only thing would be setting up the second book.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many are you looking to get? One or two?
If we got one setup and one package, reader, all the reading equipment, and then whatever it takes for software to get it set up, that's all we need. So we could share the cost of all that with the village and then share the equipment. Because it only gets used four times a year.
So does the village of Jay use this?
No,
they don't have
water.
I don't know what Westfield does. They do have a small system.
Okay. So we're just waiting for costs.
Yeah. So basically I came tonight to promise you a bunch of stuff for next week.
Good job.
So just so are we talking 10,000, 20,000?
It could be around 10. It's definitely not going to be 20. I would think, because what we have now, the equipment was like 6 to 8.
See, I want to say 65, 7, somewhere around there.
All right. I mean,
I don't know if the software was included or not.
Right.
Do you think it's an annual software license or like a one time?
Gosh, you know what?
We never took that annual fee there for coverage, but we always had EJP that would help us, so we didn't have to do the contract with Census, because that was crazy money.
That's a good question, too. I know we did talk about that, but I don't know what we said about it. But I'll find all that stuff out. I won't come in. And that's all I have.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Steve. Right.
Have a good night, Steve.
Good night.
Thanks.
You can turn the air conditioner on. See you, Steve.
See ya.
Hey, how are you department update, Mike?
Oh, we'll start with the flood. It wasn't bad this time, thank God. And we had like 15, 18 loads of gravel to fix them up. Pretty good. So that's good. Had a month of breakdowns.
Oh no.
The tractor broke down, had to bring it to Swanton. It's fixed and home. I don't have any idea what that cost.
A lot. I've got it.
A little truck broke down, not the ones we're supposed to trade, which I should probably go back. We're not going to get a little truck until 2025 now sometime. We got kicked back. Because they can only make so many pieces, parts for certain, I think it's transmissions, to be honest with you. So, us, there's another town and a bunch of state trucks got kicked off until next year. It sucks, but what are you gonna do? So then, that truck obviously breaks down. That's our lot. So that was, I just got that back today.
That was $7,800. But they gave you a free inspection.
Oh, good.
Complimentary. Yeah. Thought that was really big of them.
Nice of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've been spending money left and right here.
Yeah. Well, I have a truck.
I must say the tractor was somewhere around $1,565. $1,500?
Yeah.
And that was electronics.
Yeah. They told me it had a chafe wire. It wouldn't run. Took me all day to get it back to the shop, and then pulled it on the trailer that I had borrowed, brought it to Swanton, and they had to pull it off. They thought they had it fixed, backed it out of the garage, broke down there. Ended up being two shift solenoids, I think, and some wiring. Mm-hmm. Pain in the butt.
Go ahead.
You got your truck back, though.
Truck back today. Everything's in the back at the garage. And I talked to you about it a little bit. Our garage door broke again. Nick said that it's not going to last very long. We've just been patching it together for years. And he gave me a price, and I don't know if we have like a garage repair fund or anything like that. But he told me it was $4,500 installed.
I think we should do it.
Yeah,
because you don't want to do it. You know, you don't want to break in the middle of winter or something.
I agree 100%.
Yep.
Been patching together for a while, so we can take a couple good panels out of that door and fix the other door. It's the same age, but in a little bit better shape. Yeah. So that works out for that.
And we don't need a formal bid.
You'll just sign a warrant when it comes through, or do you want to make a motion to buy one?
I don't think we have to, because it's coming out of regular budget. So.
Yeah.
We don't need to make a motion?
No, it's coming out of his road budget.
He's ready to make a motion.
No more tire.
That's
one
us.
Less vacation day.
There goes my tire budget again.
Oh, boy. Okay. Okay, so that's taken care of. All right.
So I'll call him or send him a message whenever they get time.
Yep.
I think that's about all I got. Mowing's done.
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you. Yeah, I've had comments about the mowing. Looks good.
Yeah.
People are commenting about it. I noticed they came by my house this past weekend. Sunday, actually. Looks really good. So.
I'm surprised they're only doing one pass this year.
That's what I noticed, too.
Yeah. The state's only doing one pass.
The state, yeah.
I don't know why.
And just once, too. That they don't come back in the fall or anything, right?
No. Oh. That guy was way down. I see him today. Johnson went.
Really?
Yeah. So you must cover a lot of miles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I've heard comments about how it works. But
That's good. We like good comments. Gold star.
And a cigar.
But I think that's all I got for you.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Great.
Good luck with the door. Buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep. Thank you.
Later. Do you want to do the Doc Gordon news?
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to, the guy for
The inclusion statement.
Yes, yes. I've got to call him around 7.
All right, so
we may have to break quickly just to hear him, you know, to hear what he has to say around 7.
So we'll move.
So we'll just move the toy dog audience to 7.
Okay.
Next thing.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about the dog ordinance now to get so that you guys are here. I think you have copies of this, but just in case you don't.
Thank you.
Do you have my copy? Because that's the last copy I have.
I have this. I just got this for.
And that's changed. So take this because I have it. Give her this.
Oh, no, I have it right here. Sorry, I got one.
Okay. But you need one.
No, I got one. It's right here.
Oh, so she, okay.
I thought, okay. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I printed off 7. And I thought.
This is the latest and greatest.
Yeah. It's Sarah was the one that I was expecting to be here, and she's not. Okay. So do you want me to lead this, or?
You can lead it. This is your meeting. If you guys have questions for me, I went through this one and made notes, but we're going to go by this one. So
The only thing that was changed, so at our. So. We've been at this now for a couple of months, and what this is the Vermont League of Cities and Towns model template, most recent that they had on their website. And so I took that, actually used the town of Jay as the village of Jay as my template, and noticed that they sort of walk through, and so my impression was that the town of Jay, the village of Jay, village or
town? Jay.
The town of Jay used the previous version. And so it is updated. So there are changes.
Yes.
And then we used, for the most part, on our table of fees and all of that on page 3, those are the ones from Jay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the only thing that I made in terms of changes between this and the version that you have, Renee, is there were some blanks in there that I had neglected to fill in. And so we talked about it at our last meeting, and I made edits. And so this is where we are.
Okay.
We know we have an issue with a homeowner in town regarding neighbor pets or dogs, and so that sort of created this need for an ordinance. And while we were searching out this and working on this, we discovered there actually is one for the village of North Troy.
I have a copy of that as well.
And so we sort of wanted to, you know, obviously keep that one in force because it is a legal document.
And interestingly, but this is actually written better than any of the towns I work for, because it says disturbing the peace and quiet regardless of time of day. Most of mine say
after 10 or some
8 and 6 in the morning or after dark. So this is actually better.
The one for North Troy, you mean?
Yes.
So
based on the issue that you're having right
now. And so, you know, we were hoping to get this approved in June, but because once we started going through it, there were a number of questions that we had. And so then I was just like, look, I don't feel comfortable, you know, us approving with edits as we've discussed. I was just like, forget it. So the hope is this evening, if there are issues, that we can address them tonight. But certainly to either approve it tonight or get some good input so that I can change this and, you know, get it approved in August. Because before it goes in force, as I don't know if you know the process,
yes.
But yeah,
yeah,
so
we're going in Coventry right now.
Yeah,
actually.
So yeah. We approve it, and then there's a 60-day period of time where the public can come and talk to us and give us opinions and all of that, and then, right, we can edit it or whatever at the end. But then after 60 days, it's a go. And
yeah.
And so one of the biggest pieces for us is the enforcement issue that's on page 3. And so what I have done is I contacted the Vermont League of Cities and Towns and got an incredible response back from their staff lawyer on how the Vermont Judiciary Bureau works. Get a book of tickets, you gotta identify who gets to write these tickets. There's a process where you know, those tickets go down to the Vermont Bureau, they're given a court date, they're sent a memo or a letter, how do you plead, and you have 21 days.
Exactly like a speeding ticket.
It's all boom, 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 boom. And then what the difference is that there's a presiding judge. I didn't realize that there was a judge, but
yes.
There is a presiding judge. The prosecutor would be the town.
Yep.
So it would be, you know, whoever we appoint to write tickets for whatever issues would be the prosecutor. And it's the onus is on the prosecutor to make the case, and then the defendant would be, right, the community member or their representative, so they can have a lawyer. And this is how it goes. So, but there are still some questions in my mind that aren't answered, and that is, what is the cost to the town? And this whole notion about if somebody, you know, we have to find someone, we go down to the bureau, we present our case, the judge says, yep, agree. And they say, you have to pay this fine. And then there are court fees they also are responsible for. And if they don't pay that, what happens? Well, it goes to a collector, but what does that mean?
It really doesn't.
See?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
that's what's discouraging about this whole thing.
It is discouraging because it is simply a civil ticket. They used to take your driver's license away. They used to suspend your driver's license.
Until you pay them.
Yes, but they no longer do that anymore. All the tickets I have written in the past have all been paid.
I've
been writing tickets for 15 years.
No kidding.
Oh,
all right,
gosh.
Let's ask some questions.
Yes, she's the one to ask.
So when you write a ticket, like, how much does it cost you or the community that you're writing tickets for?
Not a dime.
Not
you,
a
all
dime.
All you have to do is contact the Judicial Bureau.
Yes.
They will send you tickets, ticket books, and they will also send you the envelopes, because when you write somebody a ticket, you hand them their copy, you hand them their ticket that they need to mail in with the envelope that they can mail it into the Judicial Bureau. So the tickets don't cost anything, the envelopes don't cost anything, sending it into the Judicial Bureau doesn't cost anything because they get most of the money when the ticket's paid.
Okay.
So that doesn't cost the town anything. In the event that you write a ticket, say a $100 ticket,
yeah.
To this guy over here with the
yeah.
barking dogs, and he chooses to go fight it in court, it doesn't cost the town a thing. The animal control officer has the upper hand because you are considered,
yeah.
maybe not an enforcement officer, but you are considered an official.
Yes.
So
yeah.
you have the upper hand. I've been to court 5 times and I've won every single case. And it didn't cost the town anything. It costed me my time to go to the courthouse in Newport and go into a 15-minute court hearing to defend my ticket, and then the defendant gets questioned, and then the judge makes their decision.
I'm sorry, so I don't want to monopolize this, but so these are
no,
things that I've been...
We're listening.
You're saying I was under the impression that because the Vermont Judicial Bureau is in White River Junction, that that's where you have to go. Because
no.
I looked in Newport to look to see where the civil, and I couldn't. So it is in Newport.
It's in Newport. Yep. And nobody has to go to White River. So your animal control officer will write a ticket. You can, and that's a whole other class. Like, if you guys get somebody in the position that you feel comfortable giving ticket books to and giving them that authority to write those tickets, I'm happy to teach them how, because there are some do's and don'ts with writing tickets. There's some certain pieces of the ticket that if you don't fill out correctly, the Judicial Bureau will email the town office and say, we had to throw this one out, it wasn't filled out properly. So there is a little bit of, I mean, I've had that happen as well, so I've learned from my mistakes. But no, nobody has to go to White River, and you can deliver the ticket by hand and hand it to the person, or your animal control officer could come in, bring the ticket, and you would have you send it to them certified mail. I've done that on a few occasions where I knew that I'm going to get blasted if I go and try to hand this ticket to these crippled people.
Right,
so
just not safe in a lot of places.
Exactly,
yeah.
And it's getting dangerous.
Yeah.
So that's the other option. You can hand deliver it, or you can send it to them. Return receipt mail.
And tell me then, so one of the things that I've read is this whole, you know, thing about how fines are structured, and that, you know, was the opinion of somebody that the fines that we charge are way lower than they really should be. So that,
yeah.
So you're
so
nodding your head. So
$25, and this is what I'm working with Coventry right now.
Yep.
Because they didn't even increase their fine. It was always $25. Like if somebody, their dog was running loose for the 30th time in a month, like their dog's loose every single day, I can only write them a $25 ticket each
which
time.
Is not.
It never increases. Do I actually do that? No, I've never actually written somebody a ticket every single day. But I encourage, and I'm encouraging Coventry as well, because we're rewriting their ordinance, to make the fines a little heftier. I actually had some friends visiting one weekend, and I had a couple of Coventry dogs that were picked up. The people came, the guy screamed at me for having to pay $50 to get his dogs back, because they actually, you know, came, claimed the dogs, they were licensed, they were vaccinated. So, and he was screaming at me in my driveway to the point where my company could hear him in the backyard. And they came, and I went back out, and they were like, was that guy really giving you a hard time over $50 to get his two dogs back? And I said, yeah, he was. He was pissed. He was like kicking dirt and everything else. And they were like, they live down in southern Vermont. They said one dog of theirs got loose once, got picked up by animal control. They paid $300 to get their dog back.
Wow.
So that's a little unreasonable for here, because then what's going to happen is nobody's going to be able to afford to get their dog back. That really truly wants their dog back because, oops, the kids open the door and let it out.
Right.
You know, accidents happen. I get that. But yeah, the $25, I would go up to $50, because you also have to include that waiver fee. So if you went to a $50 fine, you could make your waiver fee a $25. The waiver fee is usually half. And what that means is if you write them a $50 ticket, you have to write the waiver amount on the ticket, which would be $25. If they plead guilty and they pay the ticket, they only have to pay that $25. So if you're making your ticket $25 and your waiver fee $15, that's all they're paying is $15 if they plead guilty and pay the
right
ticket before the ticket's overdue.
So you're saying then for the first offense with a warning, that's a verbal warning,
that's a verbal
or
warning. Yep.
Followed by a written
warning.
So
yep.
Verbal and written.
Yep, verbal warning, written warning, and then you go to your ticket. I can't remember where I read it, somewhere here, maybe it was in the village actually, sorry, that should be in a 365-day period of time.
Where is that?
I don't know if, I haven't read through this one yet, so I don't know if you have that in there. It should be under...
Oh, the yes,
like
we have
chronic offenders.
Yes, we have that in there. I'm not
yeah
sure what the time period is.
Yeah,
6 months or something we did?
We did
6 months.
That occurs within 6 months.
And that's
yeah
fine too. That's even better.
Yeah, because we were just like, yeah.
Yeah, that shortens up.
Okay.
So anyway, you do what you choose. I find that the fines are a little bit heftier, and people have to pay that first one. And then they realize, gee, if it happens again, then it's going to cost me $100. They might take a little more.
Okay, so follow up question for that
yes
is, when you go into a community who has had this on the books, but really, you know, they've had animal control, and we, you know, there's been the warnings and a lot of talking, but no tickets.
Right.
How difficult has it? So what I'm getting at is, Once you get the first one, then word goes out.
Yep.
Once you get the second one, then people start to pay attention. Once you give the third one, you know, then people are... It's just like when with Terry, when she does the taxes and the late taxes and all of that, when Terry sends out a letter, it means something.
Right.
And so, and we had mentioned this last month, that we wanted to get to the point where this means something
right.
to people, that we're not kidding around.
Exactly. Exactly. So what you need to do is you need to contact the Judicial Bureau, and you need to make sure, I don't know if you guys have a municipal number. Every town has a municipal number. If you've never had an officer who's written tickets, you probably don't know what that number is.
No.
It's a four-digit number. And then the other piece that you need to do is get your ordinance officer, your animal control officer, whoever you're going to give the ability to write tickets to, they need to have an officer number. And that starts with an MO, municipal officer, and then it's followed by a four-digit number.
Can you have more than one person with the capability?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to need to because zoning becomes, for zoning things, goes to the zoning administrator.
I'm actually the ordinance officer for Orleans and Barton. I'm the health officer for Orleans and Barton. And then I'm animal control for all the other towns that I cover. So the ordinance officer and health officer also has the ability to write tickets as well.
So the... I'm sorry.
There you go.
I really do not want to monopolize.
No, we want
this.
You to because we're learning a lot here. It's
how
good.
How does that work when you're, you know, like the health officer for, I mean, you're under contract with them? I mean, because you're the animal control for a number. How does all of that work?
As far as... compensation?
So you have a contract?
Have a contract. I'm basically employed, self-employed with the town. And what I did a long time ago when I started out in Brownington is where I live. And then Derby approached me about 2007, 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. Derby approached me and they said, hey, we really need somebody. And so basically what I started doing and then all the other towns, Westmore, Coventry, Barton, Orleans, and I said, I'm so busy. I don't have time to, because when I first started for Brannington, I'd have a notebook by my phone back when I had a landline, and I'd write down, I was on the phone with this person for 15 minutes. I was on the phone with this person for 20 minutes. I drove here and went 16 miles. And I was like just having to keep all this stuff. And I said to each of the towns, I approached each one of my towns, and Derby actually started it because they were like, we don't want you to have to worry about all that stuff. We will just pay you a stipend for the year, and then on top of that, we'll pay you mileage because it's 25-mile round trip for me just to drive to Derby and back. So Derby pays me mileage, and they pay me a stipend for the year. Derby pays me a nice stipend because it's a very large, very populated area with a lot of rentals and that kind of stuff. So they pay me well there. But I ask each town to just give me a stipend for the year. Some towns pay me for boarding dogs when I have to board dogs. That are strays or whatever, if the owners don't claim them. I'm sure you guys used to take dogs to Oasis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we take them to Jay now, right?
The last one went with her because Jay isn't set up.
And Oasis would take it.
Right,
Andy's,
exactly.
Don't even rely on Andy anymore.
No, I heard that.
He said he wouldn't take it because it wasn't vaccinated. I called him up. I'm like, you've never had a stray dog come in here that you had a known vaccination record on.
Well, that's just it. That's right. And that's where we always used to take them. That's right.
And that's where I started out with working with Andy. And I finally, and at first the towns were like, we don't really want you to bring the strays to your house because of liability issues, whatever. And then here's Andy only open for 2 or 3 hours here, 2 or 3 hours there.
Closes at lunch to watch his soap.
I've been doing this for 22 years. You think he would trust me to use the back coat and go in and put a dog in myself?
Right.
Would never allow me to do that. And here I was driving around one night at 9 o'clock with a carload of dogs, and I'm like, what am I going to do? I got to take him home. I'm not going to sit here until he opens at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Because he won't answer his phone. So I finally built kennels. I have a barn, and I built kennels in my barn, and I can house, depending, right now I have six dogs right now, and I have room for two more, because some of them are together. But that was kind of off the track.
So you board them for how many days? Each town's
different,
right?
You guys have a 3-day
hold. Do you agree with that?
I like the 3-day hold.
Okay, because that's like what we were told a few years
ago.
If
somebody's really looking for their dog, because their dog is lost.
And I think that's what was said.
If they don't pop up in 3 days, they're not looking, or
okay.
they don't care.
And I think that's the way they explain it.
I only have one. All my towns are either 3 or 5 days. Several of them are 5 days. Roundington is 3, Westmore is 3, the rest are 5. 5 day. I do everything on Facebook now. The ordinance says you have to post it at the town office. It gets out there way faster on Facebook.
Yeah.
Nobody goes to the town office to go look for their lost dog.
No.
So I do everything on Facebook. The 3 and 5 day holds. It used to be 10 when I first started. It was 10 days. And that's a long time to have to house an animal.
Yeah.
Especially if nobody's looking for it.
And I think
and
more of what was
it? The town, too.
Costly, and what we were explained was traumatizing for the dog. Like, get them on to wherever they're going to end up being adopted out at, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, the 3 and 5 day holds, those are great. 3 days is perfect. On occasion, there has been an occasion where I've had a dog, and the shelter in Orleans has been full. I'm not going to lie, they have 17 dogs and 75 cats in there right now, so they've been full. So I've been having to hold dogs a little longer. Luckily, the puppy.
Yeah.
I found a home for that instantly.
Right.
We had a home before it was even the 3 days hold was up. But,
good.
The shelter's full, so I've been holding dogs a little bit longer because the shelter's full. Because the shelter takes all the dogs that I get that people don't claim. But there has been an occasion where that the 5 day hold is up or the 3 day hold is up, the dog goes onto the shelter, a little old couple who doesn't have Facebook, somebody says, hey, we just saw your dog, this person has it, and of course we'll give them their dog back.
Right.
There might be some expense incurred if they've taken it to the vet or if, whatever, and for board.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the 3 and 5 day hold is good.
Do you do anything with animal cruelty?
Holly.
No, but it's okay.
That the law just changed on July 1st. Jake Johnson is our game warden who covers most of Orleans County. About a year and a half ago, animal cruelty was passed on from law enforcement, the sheriff's department, and state police. It was passed on to the fish and game department. They have been assisting animal control officers with animal cruelty cases. For 22 years, I have been labeled a humane officer for the state of Vermont. I just lost that on July 1st. Even though with all my 22 years of training, I've been to police academy, I've done it all, and they just took that away from me because I don't work for a municipality. I don't work for a municipal law enforcement agency. I work for a town. So that I lost that. I will still go out. Jake told me, I've had many conversations with Jake. He's great. And he said, you just keep doing what you do. I've got your back.
How do I ask this question? are you so busy that, potentially adding...
are you looking to pick up more towns?
No, I am not. Newport just asked me. Travis Bingham at the Newport Police Department, because right now Newport Police Department covers Newport, and they just can't. They can't. There's so much crime.
Yeah, I think it's always been voice up here.
Voice was, and then it kind of became the whole police department was responsible. I just talked to Travis Bingham because I've been helping him. And I've also been housing dogs because they can't get dogs in Vandy right there in Newport. So I will drive up to Newport and pick up dogs and house dogs for the city of Newport. And then I just picked up one last week, and while I was there picking the dog up, Travis approached me and said, would you take over from Newport? And I said, I might not personally be able to take over for Newport by myself, but I have a pretty good little team going in Charleston.
You recruit people to kind of...
So I have Sarah Janess, who's in Charleston, Amy, who's in Irisburg, and the three of us girls are pretty tight, and they all said, if you take over Newport, if they can hire all three of us to take over Newport. It takes an entire police department right now to manage the animal issue in Newport, so... We're looking at it. We haven't negotiated anything yet, but we're looking at it. But I really can't. I work 11 hours a day at my job at the clinic in Bard, and then I do all this after hours. Before I was up at the border patrol at 5 o'clock on Tuesday morning picking up two dogs that were taken from illegal immigrants who were trying to cross the border. So I'm like before and after work, and the weekends I'm pretty consumed.
Okay.
But I still do animal cruelty. If I get a call from somebody out here in Troy, Jay, North Troy, Newport Center, even though that's not my animal control area. I consult with Steve, who's the animal control at Newport Center, quite often. He's had some pretty nasty little issues come up lately. And I'll come out and help anytime. I'm happy to be someone's mentor. I've mentored Sarah, I've mentored Amy, and a few others who have come and gone.
Okay.
I'm happy to do that.
All right.
I'm happy to go out to places. I've offered to go with Deb, and she said, oh, no, I can't go there. I'm told not to go there without the cops. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm here if you need me. So I'm always happy to assist.
So is there anything else in here that you've picked up that you would...
Well, so if you have taken this mostly from the latest and greatest,
yeah,
I would say you're good. And if it's
okay.
Already, you know, you're not reinventing the wheel here, you're taking what's already written,
yep.
What's already been approved by the
yep.
DLCT lawyers,
yep.
Then you're good. If you're happy with it, you know, I think your biggest thing is finding that right person for the job. And getting the ticket piece together, and I'm happy to help with that.
Okay.
Like once you guys have your stuff in place, if it still is Deb, I can teach her how to write tickets. If it's someone else, I'm happy to do that kind of stuff.
And so you said to call the Vermont Judicial Bureau. So I call the Judicial Bureau in White River Junction.
Yeah.
And how do I get in touch? Like. When you say the courthouse in Newport, who is that?
So you don't actually deal with the courthouse in Newport at all unless somebody that you write a ticket to decides that they want to take it to court. For instance, the last one I had was a gentleman whose dog was brought to a vicious dog hearing twice. The dog first knocked over an elderly person up by the nursing home up in Derby Line while they were walking, and then the second instance was not even quite a year later. The dog jumped up and bit a young kid who was out jogging with it in the chest. So we had a vicious dog hearing, and I also wrote him a ticket for a vicious dog and for his dog being off his property. Well, he fought the ticket. He didn't want to pay it, so it was a $350 ticket. And he didn't want to pay it, so he took me to court. So what happened is he sent his ticket back to the Judicial Bureau saying, I'm innocent, I'm not paying, I want my day in court. So then White River coordinates with Newport.
Oh, okay.
And then they contact
Got it.
They contact you with a court date. That's it. I mean, that's all there is to it. They'll contact you and they say, okay, your hearing is at Wednesday, 9:45 in the morning. You show up to the civil court to the courthouse, the one right on the corner. You go up. They have a civil court room.
Yeah.
It's really like it's public. Anybody can be in there.
Okay.
And they have hearing after hearing after hearing. It's like 15 minutes for each one.
Okay.
That's it.
So
you don't have to coordinate anything with Newport. Everything
okay.
is done through the Judicial Bureau.
So you said potentially vicious a $350 fine. We don't have anything
$350. Well, this was, don't forget, this was a second offense. This was a second offense on this vicious dog in 1 year's
Within one year.
So see,
yeah.
Our vicious, so notice.
Yeah, we're the same 25.
Yeah, so. Okay, so let's talk about this real quick then. So I get the second offense, we should go from 25 to 50.
So here's my suggestion
yeah,
to you
please.
On the vicious dog. There should not be a warning, a verbal warning or a written warning on a vicious dog.
Okay.
If you read, you guys have, did I send you the Big Book of Wilford? You said you had that.
I have it.
You have it. Okay.
I definitely have
so
it.
So you have a vicious dog. I'm dealing with this in Orleans. I was sitting out here in the parking lot on the phone tonight. I had just had a dog attack in Orleans a couple days ago. When there's a vicious dog attack, when a dog bites a human, there are very, very strict guidelines you have to follow. You have to, first of all, find out if that dog's vaccinated, the dog that did the biting. And then what I always tell people, if they're the victim of a dog bite, there's two different ways you handle dog bites. If I come
yeah.
to your house
yeah.
and I walk in your front door, or I'm standing on your porch or even on your front yard, and your dog comes out and bites me while I'm on your property, nothing. You check for vaccination, that's it, because that's considered to be on the dog's premises. If your dog is in your car and some idiot sticks their arm in your car while you're at Walmart parking lot and they get bit, that's the dog's premises. That's where the dog lives. So you don't do anything about that other than make sure the person that was bit is safe because the dog is vaccinated for rabies. If you're walking down the sidewalk down here in front of the store and some dog comes charging out from the alley and bites you, you're going to want to come here. And in that big book of Woof, there's a form. It's a vicious dog complaint form. You've probably seen it. It's way in the back of the forms. I encourage anybody, and I leave it up to them, if they've been bitten by a dog and they want to file a complaint, you need to go to the town clerk's office. First of all, the person who's bitten needs to write up just a brief little statement of what happened.
Tell them,
don't write a book, just write what happened.
But we have that from, like, the emergency department. Sometimes they go to the emergency room.
They do.
They fill out a form.
There's a form. There's a dog bite form. But what the person that wants to file the complaint needs to do is actually write what happened.
Right.
Where they were, what time it was, what happened. Like, I was walking down the street, some dog jumped on my back and bit me in the head. You know, whatever. Just very simple. And then they come to the town office. You fill out the vicious dog complaint form here. And you are supposed to, within 7 days, have what they call a vicious dog hearing. And if you've looked at the big book of Woof, there's a whole section in there. It tells you how to hold the hearing, what needs to be done, what kind of notifications need to happen. And basically what that does is it leaves it up to the select board to be the judge and jury and decide what needs to happen with that dog. We just had a dog euthanized in Brownington that viciously bit two kids. One kid had to have emergency surgery. That dog's gone. We had ordered that dog to be euthanized. That was up to the select board to make that call. Nobody wants to make that call, but it was the right call for that particular. That's the only dog in all my years of being animal control that has ever been ordered to be euthanized because of a vicious dog attack or bite, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Other than the one that attacked me. I did get attacked once, and that dog put down. But a vicious dog hearing, those are very few and far between. You know, that doesn't happen often. I try to put a kibosh to vicious dogs that I'm aware of in town. By warning people that if your dog does bite someone, it's going to go to the select board and they're going to decide what happens to your dog. So if you love your dog, figure it out. Get control, do whatever you need to do. I'm dealing with a situation in Derby Line right now. Somebody's got two Irish hounds that are chasing people down and they haven't attacked anybody yet, but it's just a matter of time. So
when you see what the Vermont League has done here, then so. I've just deleted the warning and or impoundment as first offense for vicious dogs. So where do you start the fines at?
So
I'm just sort of curious
here. You can keep this for potentially vicious dog if, you know, little Mrs. Smith is walking down the sidewalk and Mr. Jones's dog comes out and they have a squabble and there's a little dog fight. Or there's a dog gets bit or there's a dog squabble. So you could potentially use the vicious dog piece for that. But if a person's bit, then you go the other direction that we were just talking about. But I would definitely not even put a warning in there, unless they tell you you have to. If somebody's dog bites a person, the way the state law is written, if you have chickens in your backyard and your neighbor's dog comes over and starts chasing your chickens and acting like it's going to hurt or kill your chickens, within the state law, you are within your rights to go out and shoot the dog and humanely shoot that dog in your own property.
Or in public.
Or in public if it's safe.
So,
yeah, that actually happened in Orleans not too long ago.
So again, so first offense, is that where you
would be
like
fine? I would automatically make
like
that fine.
200? Is 350 like?
Well,
so
like I said, the 350 that
was
the second offense.
Okay.
One year. The first one was 150. The
okay,
second one
so
was
that's what I'm after.
Yeah.
150, 350.
Yeah.
As a second.
350, and then you can make that waiver amount whatever.
And
you
then
know, usually half.
And then the third offense would be 500.
I would say yes. If it's not a bite on a person, if it's not a vicious attack on a person. Because
on a person, you go the other way.
You go to the dog hearing, vicious dog hearing, vicious dog hearing.
And no fines.
No.
Decide if you're going to put them down or not.
There should be a fine. I think I sent you guys, Derby has a good one if you want to just later on
look at
Derby's.
I'll look at
Derby. Derby has a good one with the vicious dog attack on a person.
Okay.
And you can just simply add that in. Mm-hmm. Some towns, Derby doesn't care. Derby's like, if a dog attack, I had a case where a pack of three dogs killed someone's miniature horse. we had a vicious dog hearing. I had one just recently in Coventry where it was a dog on dog, and it was Coventry, dog on dog, and they didn't want to entertain the idea of having a vicious dog hearing.
So
it's really up to the town what they choose to do.
But in my mind, so I'm a little conflated. I'm not sure. So there's, when I see vicious dog, I mean, I get the biting, but it's a different level of biting. Like, should we have something where, you know, biting and then vicious dog, so that vicious dog becomes an elevation of the bite.
And it all depends on what.
Do you know what I'm?
It all depends on what your perception of a vicious dog is.
I was just
going to
say, you're going to have a different perception. I'm going to have a different
perception.
Well, that's, I'm reading it loud and clear, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I consider as the animal control officer, a vicious dog, a dog who has bitten, whether it's a person or another animal, or killed another animal. Some people, I had one, Derby, people would walk by, these people had a Doberman. The Doberman was on a shock collar. Every time somebody would walk by, the Doberman would rush out to the edge of its perimeter and bark and growl. And everybody in town was distraught, calling it a vicious dog.
So the Vermont League, a potentially vicious dog means a dog that, while running at large, inflicts minor injuries on a person, not necessarily, but, you know, so... Running at large means they're off their premises.
Correct.
But I don't think it should be running at large too, because if you're walking your dog down the sidewalk on a leash and somebody else is walking down through with their dog on a leash and your dog attacks that other dog, that's a vicious dog, whether it was on a leash or not.
Yeah.
So I don't foresee that it should be.
Yeah, that
at large.
Running at large piece. That's.
And
we
did something different in here, right? Because we said it didn't matter whose property it was on.
Yeah, I remember.
Because we had that option.
Oh, that's right.
I think it's...
Because you could potentially, I know what you're saying, you could potentially have two people that meet, and they both have their dogs on leashes, and the dogs get into a fight. There's a dog fight, and there's a vicious dog, whatever.
Yeah, that happened to me in Stowe once. I had my dog down there on a leash, and another dog came and attacked him.
So we still have some work to do.
I would look at a couple of the other ordinances and see what they have for the definition of vicious dog. And you guys have almost the exact wording here. It just does not go on to say that if any of these things happen, you're within your rights to defend yourself. Whether it be with, I have people call me all the time, is it legal for me to carry pepper spray? Of course it's legal for you to carry pepper spray. I encourage you to carry pepper spray, especially if there's a place that you walk every day that you're worried.
Well, in that same law you were talking about, they can just carry a pistol and shoot the dog right outside.
They can. And what I
tell people have...
that make that decision or think they're going to have to make that decision is to make sure you if you're going to shoot a dog, make sure you shoot it and kill it. Do not send it home with a bullet hole, because then you're going to be under the wire for animal cruelty, because it's inhumane.
We have the grounds for impoundment for a dog, potentially vicious dog, has reportedly bitten a person off or on the premises of its owner.
It says off or on?
Yes.
Oh,
Section
8.
Section 8?
Yeah.
Actually, it's section 9 from what I have.
It might be. Well,
oh,
I think
okay,
we did it in more
minute.
Than one spot, you see.
Okay. So what they're leading that into is...
Oh, right.
You have grounds to impound a dog, whether it's bitten on its premises or off its premises, if it's unvaccinated. So the way Derby is written is there's a 10-day... So what you're supposed to do if a dog bites you and the owners don't have... the rabies certificate, it's unknown. There's no proof that this dog's vaccinated. You're potentially supposed to impound that dog for 10 days.
They can do it at their house.
They can do it at home if you trust them to do it at home.
And they, yeah, and the dog has to be kept on the premise, can't be transported, can't be near people.
Other dogs, whatever, that aren't don't live in the premises. On day 10, they have to bring that dog to a veterinarian, a licensed veterinarian, and get it vaccinated because they need to license it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they also have to have that dog inspected by a veterinarian to be sure that it's healthy and it doesn't show any signs of being sick.
So there's other
places. So that's where, what that grounds for impoundment is leading into.
Okay, so there's other place where Aslan found the offer on is investigating a vicious dog. And it says, when a dog has bitten a person while the dog is off or on the premises of its owner, keeper, and the person bitten requires medical attention for the attack, such person may file a written complaint with the select board of the municipality.
That's your vicious dog complaint.
And we can do that whether it's off or on the premises of its owner.
That's what this is saying here.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
That's different because I've never...
And that's different from the ordinances
that you're currently working with. Because it's only off the premises.
Right.
Because
this was certainly an option on the VLCT's ordinance.
Yeah. Well, that's good because that actually protects your animal control officer. Because I've gone to the premises before and to talk to people about their dogs, and they're like, get off our effing property or we're going to sick our dogs on you. And they threatened to do it. And if they had, and I was standing on their doorstep and their dogs bit me, I would have been...
Yeah.
This is
going to
be...
Okay, so point of clarification then becomes...
Okay.
May file a written complaint. So somewhere in here, we have to say...
What do you want me to do?
That the...
This is our...
Hello?
Our phone call. So I don't know whether we're...
Yes, it is. Yep, we're in the middle of something, but we'll stop this and I'm going to put you on speakerphone, okay? Just one moment.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
We're going to be delayed in a minute.
That's fine.
Well, I don't know how long.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. It just went over the time that we thought it was going to do. But no, this is fine. I'm going to put you on speakerphone.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Okay, great. You are on speakerphone. Hi.
Okay. Good evening. This is Norman Cohen, and thank you for the Declaration of Inclusion Initiative, and thank you for giving me the time this evening to speak with you. I understand from your delightful town clerk that you will listen tonight, take it under advisement, and discuss it and then vote on it at the next meeting, and that's fine. I wanted to tell you that if you have any questions, please speak up. My hearing aids suddenly are not working as well, and I want to be sure I can hear you. The first question I generally ask is, would it be helpful for me to read the declaration? Are there other people there who haven't aren't familiar with it, would like to know what was going on? It takes about a minute, and I'd be happy to do that if it would be helpful.
We have a page. I copied the page that you sent to us, so we've got it
right in front of us. So we've all read it.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear the gentleman speaking.
Pardon me? I just said we've all read it.
Okay. Is there anybody in the audience that should be apprised, or should I just proceed?
I think you can just proceed.
Yep, they're looking at a copy right now. There's just a couple of three others, so I think we're all set.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Let me introduce myself. My name is Norman Cohen. I'm a retired attorney from Vermont. I practiced law in Vermont since 1969 when I was very fortunate and joined the office of the United States Attorney, which then was in Rutland and now is in Burlington. At that time, there was one assistant for the whole state, and now there are 20-plus. The other members of our initiative are Bob Harnish, who was our founder of Pittsburgh, Vermont, Al Wakefield of Mendon, Vermont, myself, Barbara Noyes Pulling of Rutland Town, Vermont, who works with the Rutland Regional Planning Commission, but she is working with us in her individual capacity. And Patty Lancaster, another retired attorney, who spent her entire career working as a public defender here in town. The first town in Vermont to adopt it was Franklin, which is in the upper northwest corner of the state. Somehow the folks in Franklin got a hold of the declaration from a town in Maine, and I've never been able to find out which one it was. Franklin passed it, and the chair of the select board just sent it to his cousin Bob Harnish in Pittsburgh as a matter of information. Bob thought it was a sound piece of policy for a town to adopt or consider, and he took it to his town of Pittsburgh, which adopted it, then spoke to some friends in Brandon, and Brandon promptly adopted it, and at that point he began to think it might have some statewide application. He spoke to Al Wakefield of Mendon, and Al was a corporate executive who moved to Vermont 30-some years ago and opened a executive search firm. All of us live in Rutland County, and we've faced this question before, so I just have to make a brief explanation. This is an entirely volunteer group. We have no budget. We accept no donations. We conduct no fundraising, and we have no checkbooks. So there's nothing behind it but our hope for the goodwill and future of the state. Another question that this sometimes creates, I'd like to address sort of indirectly. We're not suggesting that any town in Vermont is not welcoming. In fact, we assume it's just the opposite, and many of us know it from our business travels, recreational travels, relatives around, etc. But we're asking that the towns consider adopting the Declaration of Inclusion to promote that sense of welcoming to the outside world. As one person said, I think, in Coventry, even if we feel welcoming and accepting, if we don't acknowledge that, then no one knows it. And our feeling and strong feeling is that it benefits the town, its residents, the town's future economy, and its tax base to promote its core values of welcoming and equality, et cetera. Governor Scott has, in 2021, when we first started, we actually started in January of that year, but in May, he issued a proclamation of inclusion for the state, and each year he has established a separate proclamation and signed it, making the second week of May Inclusion Week. We have a lot of support from around the state, the Vermont League of Cities and Towns, the Vermont Chamber of Commerce, the Vermont Interfaith Action Group, the Social Equity Caucus of the Vermont Legislature, the Vermont Council on Rural Development. The Chamber, in fact, gives us our website, which is VermontDeclarationOfInclusion.org. As of today, 151 towns and cities in Vermont have adopted the declaration, and that 77.4% of Vermont's population and residents live in those towns. It's our feeling that that the moral and economic benefits of adopting the Declaration of Inclusion are tightly connected, and I'm sure you can imagine why. In terms of the impact in Vermont, CNBC several years ago conducted a survey to try to determine what the most livable state in the country was. and it determined that Vermont was, but it did cite the lack of diversity as a major shortcoming. Vermont is the second whitest and the second oldest state in the country. More people are dying that are being born here. More people are moving out, including my children, than are moving in. In the next decade, it's expected 100,000 Vermonters will reach retirement age, and we need to rebuild our workforce. Obviously, we're not doing it from within. Everywhere you look, at least in Rutland County, there are signs up and have been for 2 or 3 years that we're hiring. And we need to get workers here. And if we're going to draw people from the outside, we must expect they'll be more diverse. And we must make sure they feel a sense of welcoming and belonging. And belonging really is the real gut feeling that this will promote, that the Declaration of Inclusion tries to promote. And we all have taken courses from the time we were in elementary school about what the values, the founding values of the United States were, and we feel that the Declaration of Inclusion reinforces those values. There's all sorts of other state actions that have taken place. The Supreme Court has established a commission on equity to study diversity, equity, and belonging. Not diversity, equity, but inclusion in the state court system. Governor Scott has a commission headed by a wonderful woman named Susanna Davis that works on diversity, and the legislature has a Vermont Truth and Reconciliation Commission. All of these are steps that have helped us with our effort. I wish we could claim credit for all of them, but obviously we can't, and they have all been tremendously helpful. I'm just going to end there. If you have questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Please speak up so I can hear you. And if you're just going to, as I understood it, that you're going to discuss this and vote on it at your August 20th meeting, I'd be happy to attend that meeting and answer any questions that may come up. Your town clerk has my phone number. Somebody could call me anytime, and I'll be happy to answer. Thank you for letting me speak. Happy to answer any questions.
So just to clarify, we wanted to get the information before we discussed whether or not we would put it on our agenda next month or sometime in the future. So just to clarify that, it's not necessarily going to be on our agenda next month.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, I think, Norman, you have recapped everything.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I think, Norman, you've recapped everything that you provided regarding the this declaration and how it came to fruition.
Mm-hmm. You have that?
We do. We have all of that documentation.
Okay. Any questions about that information?
I don't have any.
I don't.
I'm good.
I think we're good. I think we can digest this information and decide how we're going to proceed.
Decide what?
How we're going to proceed.
Thank you. Yes, could you let me know or have Terry let me know?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because we'll be posting our agenda before the meeting.
Okay. Yes, I'll check back in with her in a week or two, and if I
want
to hear something from you, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, and have a good evening.
You too.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Very sorry.
Bye.
just in case you guys wonder what I had to sit through my first day at a new studio when I worked in California, it was a lot like that, but about 2 hours. And if you want to bring him in here, I'd be happy to ask some questions. Like, could you tell me the difference between equality and equity, please, sir? That's one of my favorites.
Right.
Sorry. I was a good boy when he was on the phone.
So back to my point here. Can we go back to
yes,
this?
Yes, we can go back. Yeah,
I just
yes,
wanted
to. Because they've
been here a while. So, such person may file. So right now, what happens is somebody gets a dog bite. They go to the emergency department. The emergency department sends a form.
Yep.
They PD.
Do you get those here at the
they,
office?
Yeah.
They fax that to us. Gets to the health officer, and then we do whatever.
Yeah.
So this is a different line. So this is like A, you can go this way, or B, you
it's
can
really
go this
both.
Way.
It's really not a different line. It's just how things happen. A lot of times, somebody's bit by a dog. They're in the emergency room being treated by the doctor. The bite report hasn't even been written yet, and they're calling me. And they're like, I'm sitting in the ER. I was just attacked by so-and-so's dog down the street. So I'm already aware of it. I'm already on it. You get the bite report just so that your
yeah.
health officer or
yeah.
your animal control officer can follow up on that and follow up on the rabies. Really, that's what that's all about. It's up to the person that was bitten.
That's what I'm getting.
Yes, it's up to them. I've had people say, oh, no, it's okay. It was really my fault. I had a treat in my hand, and I thought the dog would take the treat, and the dog accidentally bit me. I don't want to file a vicious dog complaint.
So,
it's up to the complainant.
And so
yeah,
that so so what I'm driving at is then this ordinance then needs to be very clear, and I don't know if putting it in section 9 is clear enough.
Well, I was just reading,
that you
I was
know,
just reading the, like when you guys were listening to that, I was reading beyond that. And
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Then you go into so on page 6, section C, if no, not if after a hearing. Okay, so that's where it says in section 9, letter A. It says that's where I'm getting it from.
Right,
they don't have to. They're not required to. It's really up to the person who is the victim.
Okay, so let me ask it a different way. Is where we have it in the ordinance that someone may file a complaint with the select board, is that okay where it's placed, or should that be, you know, more forward?
I think it's fine where it's placed. It's in there.
Okay.
It's in there. It's fine where it's placed.
Okay.
Because and what it boils down to when your person writing the tickets, they're going to be writing their tickets, and you have to put on your ticket what section of the ordinance you're writing the ticket for, because you need to define whether it's a dog running at large, or if it's a dog bite, or if it's an unlicensed dog, all of those pieces. So when I write a ticket,
I
reference, you know, Troy
and
dog ordinance section.
That's
one.
What you use
yes.
as the prosecutor.
Yes.
You know, that's the basis of your charge.
Yes.
Got it.
And then the judge looks at this and says, yes, the clearly
yep,
the town
there,
says,
there it is.
This, and this, yep, you're guilty, you're paying. And then if they take it to court, they pay the full fine. Like, so you gave them that waiver amount on the ticket, right? So if you wrote a $100 ticket and the waiver amount's $50, and they choose not to pay that waiver amount and they choose to go to court and they're found guilty, they pay the full ticket amount.
Okay, so now you just brought up another point, which is, do we have in here the whole civil thing? Like, this is a civil, but what if they want to take it to court?
So we had an instance in Irisburg. I helped my friend Amy out. She's animal control in Irisburg. A dog got loose, went over by True Corners Campground, was
yeah.
causing some havoc around the people who live across the road from the
yeah.
campground. The guy goes outside, why are my dogs barking? He sees on the other side of his fence, there's this dog. So he goes around outside because he doesn't want a dog fight. The dog that was not his outside of his fenced area attacked him, almost scalped him. Then the dog takes off and runs into town. The animal control officer picks up the dog. She brings the dog home. The dog is fine. She's aware that the dog has bitten someone. The next day, she gets bit taking care of the dog while she's holding it or trying to figure out who owns it, etc. The gentleman who was attacked on his own property, that's up to him. He's getting a lawyer. He's suing the dog owner. That has nothing to do with the town. Yeah, that's a private business deal. Yeah.
Right.
And the animal control officer isn't doing anything. She was taking the dog, the town's
expenses. So if they refuse to pay...
If they refuse to pay that, they have to, just like a speeding ticket. Like, if you get a speeding ticket, you think you're in the right, and the cop is in the wrong, and you want to go to court and fight it, you go to court and fight it.
That's what I'm getting at.
If you lose, and the judge says, no, you are guilty, you pay the full fine.
So should we have a statement in here... Of course, it comes from the Vermont League, that you can take it to court. Like, you can say, no, with this, I want to go to court.
But it says it on your ticket.
It says it on your ticket. You don't have to say
that on your ticket.
You plead, okay. you plead guilty, you plead no contest, or you plead not.
Got it.
So if nobody pays the ticket, they don't mail in the ticket to the judicial bureau, they just throw it away at home, don't ignore it. We send in our copy of the ticket, right?
Yep.
And what happens at that point?
I believe there's a court hearing.
That's
what
it's created for. Then that.
They'd be found guilty because
yep,
they're not there.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep.
So it's always like a civil situation.
I think you're right.
It'd
be animal control officer.
Frig,
yes.
No.
So
no.
Okay.
No. The only time, I actually don't even think, I can't think of any instance in, I know that the shelter has been, somebody's tried to sue the shelter before because they wound up with a dog that was initially a stray. The dog was brought there. They wanted their dog back. There was a bunch of mumbo jumbo. So I don't, in my 20 years, I've never had the town, anybody want to sue the town. I mean, and that's why you want to be careful, and you want to have an animal control officer who's going to abide by this and not do Albany's under the gun right now. There are animal control officer is charged with animal cruelty and also had wildlife in her house. So, Albany and Craftsbury. So, you know, you want your animal control officer to be somebody who's going to follow this and not go outside of this and, you know, trespass on people's property, do those kind of things. That's where the town could possibly be held liable.
So let me ask you this. In any of the towns that you hold that role, you're not an elected official then in any of those?
Yeah, I'm elected. As a,
you are elected?
Usually the animal control officer and the second constable are one and the same. The only town I'm not a constable in is Derby. All the other towns I'm a second constable, basically, which is dog catcher, pound keeper.
So you can be elected even though you're not a resident?
Yep. Yes. If they choose to hire someone out of...
In absentia?
Yeah. Because nobody wants to do this.
No, I understand.
In absentia.
And most of them are not elected anymore. Most of them... I used to go to town meeting in Brownington every year. I can't anymore because I can never get the day off, but... I used to be, I was elected in originally, and they don't even put, I think they put it on there on the warnings for the meeting, for the town meeting.
It's Renee again.
But it's never, ever been disputed. You know, they've never had to have a vote.
So why don't you start, like, you know, because you got to go work at the clinic, but you have these other, this
so
core
have,
group of people,
I,
like the sheriff's department,
yeah,
you know?
Most law enforcement, they just...
This
he's
would
comparing
be, no.
you
no.
to
yeah.
the sheriff's department.
This would be...
you're the sheriff.
So I have a pipe dream. I'm not young anymore. I started doing this 22 years ago. I'm in my 50s now. But I have this pipe dream that I could quit my job and be employed by the entire county of Orleans. And I would do this job for the entire county of Orleans.
Well, so
I don't know that... I still have to pay my bills,
yes.
And, you know,
there's
not a lot of money allotted for animal control. I get it.
On that front, I would venture to guess that we would seriously consider being a party to all of that.
Yeah, I've been told that. And I also told Fish and Game that they need to hire me. Because I need to be under a law enforcement agency in order to continue. I started doing animal cruelty. I started a nonprofit organization back in 2001. And we became animal cruelty investigators. And my friend Vicky, who I started with, moved back to Oklahoma, which is where she was from. about 10 years ago, so I've kind of been kind of hanging out and out there on my own. I've recruited a few other people who've gone to the police academy and been trained, but now that they've just taken that away from us as of July 1st, it's kind of a gray area. So I actually was talking with Jake Johnson and said, you guys need to hire me under the fishing game blanket, and I will be the animal cruelty investigator for the top half of the state of Vermont if you want me to be. But I have to work under a law enforcement agency. I can't do it on my own anymore. Because before, because I had my own humane organization, I could appoint myself a humane officer. So, anyway, that's down another rabbit hole.
That's all my questions.
So yeah, that's all my questions, too.
Yeah, I did pull up the Derby ordinance while you guys
were on the phone.
You have it? Yeah. Their vicious dog definition, I thought, was pretty good on that one.
Yeah. So, I'll look
yeah.
again.
Derby's my Bible. All the other towns here and there are a little different. I'm just now getting Coventry's ordinance was actually written so that the only place that there was an actual dog ordinance that said your dog has to be on your property or under your control was within the village. So I have all these people calling me that live outside of the village, and I said, I can't do anything. It's not written in your ordinance.
That's pretty much the way we are.
Your ordinance says only in the village dogs cannot be at large. So,
yeah.
So I'm there. That's what we're changing now.
So you did Barton and Orleans.
Yes.
As one ordinance?
Barton has their own. Orleans has their own. Orleans is awful.
Yeah,
Orleans doesn't have a fine amount. It says up to $500, and I have a guy that I am desperate to write a ticket to. I mean, his dog's jumping all over people's cars and chasing little old ladies and attacking their dogs.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing I can do because of the way the Orleans ordinance is written. It's awful.
Yeah. And Barton was approved in 98. They had an update in 2000.
Yeah, or Barton and Orleans are older, for sure. Derby's pretty up to date. I don't think we've rewritten anything for Derby since I've been there.
The most up to date was Westmore. That was 2021.
Yeah, I got them to update, and the reason they updated is because of one particular complainant who's terrified of dogs, and the lady who lives a half mile down the road has 5 dogs, and when they bark, he has PTSD. So we rewrote the ordinance.
Extreme. I'll take a closer look with Derby and see.
Derby's
compare.
My best written one. That's the best written one I have.
And then I had a question on Section 7, the penalties and costs under unconfined dog and heat. I said it out loud. It dawned on me when I read it out loud.
Gaston just remembered who you were from their Rasputitsa meeting.
I knew he was wondering over there the whole time. I was like,
halfway through, I was like,
it's
Ross.
Yeah, that's
the word
that
Ross
meant. Until I said it out loud, and then it clicked instantly, unconfined dog and heat. But I was thinking it was said unconfined dog left out in the heat.
Yeah,
and I was going to say, shouldn't we say I have cold there too? Then when I said it out loud, I realized what I was reading. So never mind, scratch that off.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's pretty good. You should definitely
I'll go back
increase
and read
your amounts. I mean, look at some of the towns, what other towns are doing for fine amounts.
And I personally really appreciate the whole thing with the Vermont Judicial Bureau because, I mean, you know, like, I have
And Deb kept telling me that. I'm like, don't you write tickets? Oh, no, the town doesn't want me to write tickets because they think it's going to be costly to the town, and it's not.
So
we just didn't,
you mentioned that contacting the Judicial Bureau, that we need to provide them with a portage.
They're not
going to
give her a book.
They're going to give that to us.
You
can
all call.
In all reality, there's probably already a municipal code for Troy.
Okay.
There probably is because when we used to have Lenny.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you would have the village would have the village would have an officer number.
Do you?
Should have.
And then your officer, when you decide who you're
that
going
is,
to give,
then we would have
or officers, each one of them will get their own, and their own officer number. And their officer number allows them to write a civil ticket anywhere in the state of Vermont.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right, so
is it possible, can I ask one quick question?
Yeah.
Is it possible to you've got an animal control to listen to arguments. But as far as the writing of tickets, if it came to somebody else that you granted that okay to, like,
that's fine.
Is that something that can sometimes, as long as you
get them their officer number, that gives them the ability to write a
ticket. I don't know if that would be. I'm just kind
so
of.
So you say you're in.
I,
so you
yeah,
have,
I get what you're saying.
I know what you're saying. You have somebody as your animal control officer, and then they consult with your constable.
And then
the constable says, okay,
decide
yes,
together,
that's in here, let's
write
a ticket. And your constable can write the ticket.
Actually,
right.
It's not a bad idea.
No, it's not
actually,
idea.
It's not a bad idea.
No.
Or if your animal control officer's gone on vacation or anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving forward. A, I will contact the Vermont Judicial Bureau to identify both the village and the town, or to determine if they're the same, what our four-digit number is.
Yep.
I will request the tickets.
It's called your municipal number.
Yeah, and then I'll request whatever the ticket thing.
Yep.
And then I will rework this, so we're not going to approve this tonight, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I will rework, I will make the edits that we've talked about, increasing these, right? And I will crosswalk everything with Derby and come to you next month with yet another version, potentially ready for signature, with all that new information, and I'll identify where I've made edits in the document, in the draft.
You piqued my curiosity now. I'm going to actually email tomorrow, because this whole on or off premises is new.
Okay.
That I was not aware of, so I'm going to be doing my own little research on that, because it's always been off the premises.
Yeah, so
that's interesting.
And that's not something you added. That was
an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And so I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time. And if there's any way that we could convince you.
If I could quit my full-time job.
But thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's been really, really helpful.
You're welcome.
It really
and,
has.
You know, remember, I'm just a phone call away.
Okay.
If you guys ever need help out here, I'm happy to come out and help. Whoever you hire, the person that's currently doing the job, whoever, I'm happy to mentor a new person. You know, my friends Amy and Sarah are doing fantastic jobs. They very rarely ever even call me anymore. They've got it. They know what they're doing.
Man.
So if you guys need, I'm happy to give my time for that.
Okay.
And my services to help somebody along.
That's
awesome.
Because
it really is, it's becoming a dangerous job.
Yeah.
And you need somebody who's not afraid, but you also need somebody who knows when to walk away from a situation before it escalates.
Yeah.
Because it's becoming very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all.
All the drugs and all the homelessness and people being, you know, feeling entitled.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's why I question the elected official piece, because a lot of times it's a popularity vote.
Yeah.
Not necessarily who can do the job the best, or, you know, who has the capability to do the job.
Yes,
that's why I wondered.
You definitely want, you know, like I said, you want somebody who's going to stick to this, not go outside of. There's no going outside of the box if you do something wrong.
Yeah,
you know, that's where the town could be.
Yeah.
And in fact, now that you're here, and I know you're on the trustees as well, that, you know, and we've done this in the past with our local emergency management plan, is that we do this at our level. And so I could see, like, next month when we go through this and we say, yep, we're good with where we are, then we take it from here. I would take it from here, then go to the trustees meeting, and then kind of, I mean, you've seen it, and you certainly have, but kind of go through the whole thing, kind of get concurrence, and then, you know, does the ordinance for the town also cover the village?
It would be separate, right? I think, because the
village
is an incorporated village.
Right. I mean, I don't know why you couldn't have the the identical ordinance for both and just name them. One's for the village, one's for the town.
Right.
Yeah, that would be the,
that's what
that
I'm trying to get
plan,
Barton and Orleans
right?
to do because Barton and Orleans is the same
but,
way.
But then that way we're all on the same sheet of paper and we don't, because the animal control person is village and town, and so they have to be on board.
Right.
Yeah. So that's my.
Yeah.
So
that's
another step on the process.
Right.
Good.
Because it's silly to have two different ordinances covering the same area.
Yep.
So.
Sounds great.
This has been awesome.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank
you.
Very
helpful.
Very
amazing.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
Very
thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
I'm still deciding the day that I'm going to give this all up, and I just can't.
I can't.
Everybody's like, you do too much. You're too busy. It's good.
Yeah.
Any town around, whenever there's an issue, it's call Renee.
Yeah, that's right.
I can see why.
Pet in the county. I can't tell you enough. I'm happy to help.
Okay.
I don't want the position, but I'm happy to help in any way I can.
And you're okay with boarding if we need it,
if you
have the room.
Boarded, absolutely. My kennels, I usually can make space. I have dogs there now, but three are leaving tomorrow, going to the shelter, and then two more hopefully next week.
Do you hate to see them go?
You know what? I've been doing this for so long.
You just know it's part of the process.
It's part of the process. It really is, and I can't keep them all.
Right.
I'd be with the animal control officer from Albany. no, it does. It's not. It's fine.
Yeah.
I used to get attached, and I still do get attached, and sometimes it's hard to see them go. But I know I have a purpose, and I know what that is. So, my kennels, I can always make space. If I'm full, I'll let you know. But I can almost always make space.
Great.
So I have indoors and outdoor kennels.
Great. Your phone number?
6-7.
Do you want to do it on here or you want to write it down?
Oh, yeah. It's
you can't?
My phone number is everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 802-673-3791.
Perfect.
Yeah, I get Facebook scans every once in a while. It's my phone number.
Yeah.
Well, I'll post the lost dog and somebody will just text me and say, hey, we found your dog.
Yeah.
I'm like, you did? Really? What dog was that?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Again, thank you for taking
the
time.
This was awesome.
You're very welcome. If you want to send me what you have when you get it finished, I'm happy to look at it again. I think you guys are doing a great job. I don't really think you need to do that. I mean, I don't think I can be any more help than the VLCT.
You've been very helpful.
If you have any other questions,
your insight,
me and Terry knows. Terry can email me.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much.
Have a good rest of your night.
You too.
You too.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm very sorry to monopolize that.
No,
I mean, I was so excited to talk to somebody after all this stuff that, you know what I mean? You read, and then you have somebody who can,
has the experience.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh my God.
You've done an incredible job with this.
Well,
really good.
Thank you.
I'm curious now to see that book, though.
The
Big Dog of Woof.
Yeah, I mean, something? I have the PDF of it, and I don't know how I found it, but the Big Dog of Woof, and so
big
I have
book,
it as
Big,
book,
book, of
big
woof.
Book of Woof. I mean, Big Dog of Woof.
It's like the cemetery ones, Digging Deep.
Yeah.
But, that's what it's called, Digging Deep.
Really?
Yep.
But
she said it's got all forms and stuff in the back and everything, so
that's
that could be a big help, too.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think, so maybe... I don't know if I should have the form in there. I don't know. We'll talk about
it. No, because the form is something separate, right? But we should have a form here.
Right. We should have the form available here. Yeah.
All right. Sorry. That was so good.
That was
very good.
She's
good.
Good.
Very good.
And thank you for coming. Honestly, I'm like.
I knew you were wondering.
And so
I was
like. And I was like, I know I've seen her. Who is it? And I'm like, it's not Sue.
Hey, but that's my middle name, so you're close.
So, because I've not met Sue yet. So
Deb.
I'm like, I knew that it... Oh,
yeah.
Deb, not Deb. Sue.
Oh, Deb, yes. Yeah.
I was like, so I haven't met her yet.
I
talked with
her
on the phone.
For the first time, so, yeah.
Anyway.
So... Delinquent tax sales, what we're on to next.
Okay, you got a listing?
We all got a list in here.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Holly.
Thank you.
Good night.
So you have a listing of taxes and then delinquent water and sewer. So the taxes total.
And you said some of them are paid?
None of these are paid. Redid it. Yeah.
So isn't there a certain...
Usually do a minimum of 225,
and
all of these are over.
The only one that we should probably, in the minutes make reference to is Kevin Weaver at the end is the property that Nick Bouchard just bought. It's already closed. And for some reason at the closing, the delinquent taxes were not paid. So Ashley at Nick Daly's office at Bauer Gravel and Farnham.
Yeah, Bauer Gravel.
Yeah. They are looking into it. So we're obviously not going to put that into the delinquent tax sale because
it's
the property's been sold and, but everybody else is above that. And nobody has made a regular payment arrangement where they're making, regular any promises to make a payment or anything.
We just need a motion to include all of these excepting Kevin Lee.
Or parcel number 040049. All right, so I'll make a motion that all those listed as being delinquent on their tax be sent to tax sale?
Delinquent tax sale.
Delinquent tax sale, except for parcel ID 040049, as that property has been
sold. Yes. Yep.
Is that okay?
That's
awesome. And then.
So then the next is everybody that is delinquent on their water and sewer fees. So where I circled is over 120 days. The current is actually, we just did a billing yesterday, so there's a whole new bill out there, but obviously it's just ready to be mailed, so that is not on this list. But the accounts that are over 120 days, and the amounts that they're over, would make it now three billings back that it's that balance. So I'm not sure. The only one that has a payment arrangement and is paying it and it will be paid up is just the one that the reference is made, and everybody else is...
And you've put a little check mark in front of the ones
ones that just kind of are usually gone, or... amount wise would be the ones that I would think would go, unless you, depending on if you pick a amount or that one I have to make note of. That is a renter.
Okay.
And so parcel number 110116 Gaston is a rental property.
I sent
the property owner a copy of the bill. It's going out today to let him know that it's delinquent and he needed to get in touch with me, because it would be a delinquent tax sale. It would be his property that would go up for tax sale.
Oh, that's so, kind of an awkward situation.
Well, yeah, and it's not going to happen. He'll come in. He will pay it when he knows it's at this point. So I would not put that in, because it's going to get, I'm very confident.
That has a payment agreement won't be added, because they
won't be added. They've been paying $250 a month for first their taxes, which are now paid, and now she's put it over to the water and sewer. So, and that will be paid in three more months.
So I'm having to make a motion that all the all the properties that are highlighted on the delinquent water.
Yeah.
Be sent to tax in.
I'll second that if we need it.
And some of these also, I don't know what they do actually. I was going to say some of these might be on the delinquent for taxes, but I don't know as they are actually.
I don't think they are.
Anybody? No.
Nope. I remember forget.
And I did make sure, just a second guessing myself, to be sure I was covered. Every time I send a water or sewer bill, it states right on it, if you are in arrears, you may go to tax sale. So we've covered our bases in that because we don't do disconnect notices, right? We don't do the disconnects, but it says it right on the bill. So people are aware. So those will go to Nick on, you know, this week, and he'll set up the tax sale, or Ashley will, for sometime in September.
Yeah. Different.
We skipped that one, the public.
Oh, I thought I had him there.
Oh. Oh, that's true too.
But we can go back.
Yeah,
public comments.
We did. We took
it. Yeah. There was this nice guy who decided to tear down one of our ugly buildings in town, and I think that we should recognize Robert for leading by example.
All right.
Well, I don't know. I led it to the state it was in by example too. So,
when you bought it, it didn't look much better than that.
You couldn't see it though.
When that's true. You cleared trees, so you didn't prove it.
So now let's contact all the other people that own those buildings and have them take care of theirs too, like the one across the street from our only store that people go to in town. Robert doesn't own that one. That's not his fault.
What are you talking?
The house across the street from the Dollar General.
Oh, from the Dollar General. I was thinking like, the mini mart.
There's nothing there. That fell down on its own. That one.
Yeah. Right.
Alrighty. So we will go to
Troy, the fire warden.
The fire warden.
Yes, so Ben Menier stopped in and asked if he had talked with Bobby. And the right thing is fire wardens are appointed by the Commissioner of Forest Parks and Recreation with the approval from the Town Select Board. So he is looking for approval from the Town Select Board to be considered as Forest Fire Warden. He is Robbie Menier's son, and he's on Troy Fire Department to take his grandfather's place.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that the board, are we approving?
Recommending
that Ben Menier serve as the Town of Troy Fire Warden.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we have to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion.
The meeting of June 18th.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes as posted.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
Okay.
Orders.
Yep.
There, that was that. And while he's starting it, let's quickly discuss your feeling on posting the minutes once they're approved or posting it right after the meeting.
You mean posting the
video?
The audio
part of the tape.
My impression is that we wait because the law says that they have to be posted 30 days after they've been approved, and we do not approve them until a month later. If we post them after the meeting tonight, then that means that they will be on our website for the next 30 days, right? and then we approve it for another 30 days. The 30 days that they are on the website are draft. I mean, draft in the sense that the minutes haven't been approved. And so, to me, if the law says 30 days after the minutes have been approved, then we hold this recording until next month when we approve the minutes, and then we post both the approved minutes and the audio recording that attaches with those approved minutes.
But the minutes have to go on within 5 days. The draft minutes have to go on the website.
Don't approve them till a month later. And I won't argue that with you, but it would make more sense, because what's going on this phone is what's happened. Approved or not, it's what happened.
Yes.
Okay? And if our draft minutes are posted 5 days...
Yes, which they have to
and
be.
And Travis is listening to the tape and looking at the minutes and going, that ain't right. And so he can come to the next meeting and we can go to approve the minutes and he can say, hey, wait a minute. Right? But if the audio is not on until the night we're approving the minutes, then the public can't go, hey, wait a minute.
So
I was leaning toward Gaston in the sense that
that's
how I understood it too.
That's how it reads.
And on the listserv, everybody's like, half of them are doing it this way, half of them are doing it that way.
To me, it should follow suit with the written.
He's heading off another cowboy hat situation. That's a good idea. Put the text with the audio at the same time. I think that's a great idea.
What's the school doing?
I don't know yet. I'm not being funny. We haven't had our SU board meeting yet, and we don't have a board meeting for Troy School until August. We don't have a meeting in July.
Right.
We have an emergency a hearing tomorrow, but that's very different because that's all executive session.
Oh.
So, yeah. So to me, our legislators said 30 days after it's approved, I mean, they know that, you know, you have 5 days after the meeting to post the minutes. They know. And so for whatever reason, whatever testimony they heard, they were not convinced that, you know, you needed to have them on for the full 60 days.
So you're thinking if they're put on now, they don't come off when you go put on the next meeting. They still have to stay on.
They have to stay on for 30 days after it's approved.
So I will put them on when they're approved.
Depending on what everybody else wants to do.
I agree with you. The way it's written is what you said.
But it's dumb.
But it just doesn't make any sense. why do it then?
But, and to Travis's point, and to your point, if somebody looks at the approved minutes and then listens to the tape and finds that, oh my goodness, there is a mechanism for those to get corrected, right? They would contact us and then we would
have to go back and
correct the minutes and
be in the minutes
again, right? I mean, because
sounds good.
I mean, that's sort of, I don't know.
As much as I love things being all open to the public that happen in rooms like this, I also recognize that most of the people that go to listen to that aren't going to be looking to make positive contributions.
Yeah, I don't know.
Somebody else shows up,
this is pressure one.
They're
going to
complain.
Yes.
I mean,
nobody's
ever
coming
to say,
hey,
guys,
you're
doing a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least that.
Because we saved $600 a month.
No, we wouldn't.
Yeah. they give you a discount. So if they give us a discount, I get it paid, so we don't lose that discount. That's because she came in after I'd already done payroll. You'll see the same date, and she wasn't on it. But she stopped in on Wednesday, and I had done payroll on Tuesday that day because it's 4th of July, and I wanted the guys to get their money before the Friday. So, but I just redid hers real quick. It was fine. And she's one day a week now, I guess.
It's not going to last.
No.
It's not a good job. She's got to get a good job.
But I guess Frank said he's going to check to see if she'll do Saturday this week, too, because he's got to work till 2 in the morning or something. But he said she only wanted one day a week. Did everybody see enough Harley Davidsons, or you were gone? Did you happen to see any of them?
I saw some.
They thought maybe 800, maybe 800, and they had over 1,500 Harleys.
Where?
They did the hog ride. You got a Harley, you know about it. But yeah, JP coasted it. And they had Harleys from everywhere, and they had them go different places and ride different routes, and it was crazy.
No, I did
coming
like
through customs on Friday and Saturday morning, it sounded like because I could hear it so clear from my house, like it was just rumbling thunder for hours with them coming through. It was amazing. Yeah, it was pretty neat. Huh. A lot of them there, but it's an international thing. Like they're in Switzerland, and they're in all these different odd countries in Germany, and they do different weekends.
They did invite the Porsches back.
Well,
the motorcycles, right?
Oh, right.
Remember in the Porsche?
Yeah.
That got the road paved.
Yeah.
That's right. It sure did.
Wasn't the big complaint about that is that there was manure on our roads, so they would probably never come back to that area again.
They are in Vermont.
Yeah.
After all.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any other business?
Oh, BCA hearing. We have got to have a. Yeah, we know we can adjourn. This is on another note. This is our other hat is BCA members.
So then our next meeting is Tuesday, August 20th, 6:30. Motion to adjourn.
What time?
I'll make a
8,
motion to
16.
Adjourn.
16. Second.
All in favor.
Yeah. Okay.